Thank you to the Baines family, and they are starting Hazel off good, memorizing scripture already. And thank you, Ella and Lila. I appreciate Elijah preaching for me last week on Father's Day. It gave me a chance, and Cindy, a chance to be with our son for the weekend. And actually, it was a very special treat for us as our son was preaching at his church. He's a music minister, and normally he is over here on the stage leading the worship at his church. And this particular Sunday, not only was he over there leading the worship, but when it came time for preaching, he was here in the middle, and he did a wonderful job, we thought. We're kind of biased, but we were very proud of him and thankful to be able to be there and give him support. Elijah kicked off a three-week series of sermons on parenting, which I will be preaching the second sermon in that series today. If you would agree with this statement, I want to hear a big amen. Parenting can be so fun, and yet it can be so stressful. Amen. Yeah, I thought you'd give me an amen for that. If you believe this, say amen as well. Parenting can be so rewarding, and yet it can be so heart-wrenching. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I thought you would agree with that as well. In preparation for this series of sermons, I started reading Dr. James Dobson's book, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. You see the title and the book itself there on the screen behind me. The title itself suggests that it is a real challenge to be a parent. And the truth is, if you are a parent now, you really never stop being a parent. Your role changes as the years go by, but you never stop loving your kids, and you never stop stressing over your kids. In fact, Cindy and I have been in a stretch for quite a while where our concern level for a couple of our kids is about as high as it's ever been. And they've been out of the house for years. So don't ever think that as your kids leave the home that you're completely done as a parent. I don't think that's how it works. I will encourage you, especially if you are in the middle of parenting or getting ready to become a parent, that you do lots of reading. Again, I will encourage you to read Christian books and articles. Do not waste your time reading from people who do not have God's wisdom. I have put together in your bulletin, maybe you've looked at it this morning already, I put together a reading list for you that I'm recommending. And most of these books are on parenting, and I did go ahead and put a few books on the subject of marriage there at the bottom of the page, because you remember we spent 3 weeks on marriage recently, and I probably should have had such a list as this on the subject of marriage. I didn't do that, and so it kind of clicked in my mind as I was putting this list together on the subject of parenting that I would include a few of those books by Dr. Dobson on the subject of marriage. If you have not read Dr. Dobson's stuff, even though he goes all the way back to the 1980s, I recommend everything that he has read. He's good reading on the subjects of marriage and parenting. Now, I will tell you, I have not read all of these books. I got on my phone and texted a few of the people that I have great respect for, And I said to them, I'm going to be preaching a series of sermons on parenting. Can you give me some of your recommendations on books on that topic? And so a number of those books are what I receive back from those people. Some of these books I have read. A lot of them I have read, particularly in that column there by Dr. Dobson on the books on parenting. I have read most of those. But those in that top section, most of those I have not read. A few of them I have. But they come with great recommendations, and I think that we can become better parents as we become better students of the subject of parenting. And though my kids have been out of the home for quite a long while, I have found it rather good for me to be reading this book, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. It is a great book. Of course, there's all kinds of podcasts out there and Christian teaching on the internet. I know that my daughter Rebecca is constantly listening to Christian teaching on being a mom. We need all the help that we can get. And then, of course, it's a very positive thing if you have people who are older than you who have traveled the road ahead of you, and you can learn from them. I want to encourage you, especially you that are right now in the middle of parenting, that you have your eyes and your ears open to the people who have already traveled the road ahead of you. And ask questions of them. Get advice from them. Soak up from them all that you possibly can, and that will be a helpful thing to you. I will give to you one more piece of advice in my introductory remarks. It takes a village to raise a child, and preferably a Christian village. So if you have Christian grandparents, that is a great resource for you. Utilize them. And I hope that you will utilize this church. We have great Sunday school teachers for your kids, and we have great youth sponsors for your kids, and we have Elijah and Mallory here as youth minister and wife, and they want to help you with your children. And these are people that are very capable of helping you, and they are people that can be very influential on your children. But you need to get your kids here for them to be that influence on your kids. You need to get your kids here so that they can teach your kids and love on your kids and help your kids grow in Jesus. Get them here for Sunday school. Get them here for children's church. Get them here for the youth group time. Get them here for camp time this summer. It could make a difference in your kids' lives for eternity. Let me say this, and I think you know this to be true. Sometimes your kids will listen to someone else when they're not listening to you. And so have these other voices. Utilize these other voices that maybe as your kids are turning a deaf ear to you, and sometimes it does happen, maybe they'll hear someone else say the same thing and they'll listen to them. And certainly that was true with our daughter, Rebecca, especially growing up. There was a season in her life where she was not listening to me, but she had a youth minister and a wife, and she had a couple of ladies who were doing a weekly Bible study with the high school girls in the youth group, and she was listening to them. She was hearing them. though she wasn't hearing me. And it had a major, major impact on her life. It takes a village to raise a child to love Jesus. I want to ask you, particularly you that are parents right now of kids who are still in the home, here's a question for you. And it's on this, the question is this. Is it your number one goal to raise a child who will love God with their whole heart? Let that question sink in. Is it your number one goal to raise a child who will love God with their whole heart? Now you think about what Jesus said, that the number one commandment in all of the Bible is to love God with one's whole heart and mind and soul and strength. And so if that is the number one commandment according to Jesus, then our number one goal needs to be that our kids will love God with their whole heart and all of their mind and all of their soul and all of their strength. And so again, the question, is it your number one goal for your kids that they would love God with their whole heart? If that is not in your thinking, then you need to change your thinking. This is more important than raising your kid to be a responsible, productive citizen in society. Now, we want that for sure. But that's not what is going to get them to heaven. Being a responsible, productive citizen in society is not going to be what gets them to heaven. What will get them to heaven is if they love God and Jesus with all of their heart. And that they have their faith in God and their faith in Jesus. And when we raise our kids with lots of hopes and dreams, we want them to make good grades. We want them to be law-abiding citizens. We want them to have good work habits. We want them to have initiative. We want them to be able to be a good money manager. We want them to be able to get along with people. We have dreams and aspirations of them being the very best athlete on the field. And all of that's okay. But none of that is what really matters when it comes to eternity. None of that really amounts to a hill of beans in light of eternity. The only thing that matters in light of eternity is that our kid would love God with all of their heart and all of their mind and all of their soul and all of their strength. So that needs to be our number one goal as we raise our children. And believe me, the world is scratching and clawing and fighting hard against all of that. Satan is out to steal and kill and destroy our kids. We are in a spiritual war. And our kids' souls are what we are fighting for. And so what do we have to do to have the victory in this battle? That's the question we're going to answer over the next two Sundays. What do we have to do to have the victory in this battle? And I'm telling you, folks, this is applicable for you, whether your kid is small and still in the home, or a lot of what I'm going to say, too, is applicable to us who have older children as well. Because the first point, particularly, is applicable to every one of us, and that is simply we pray. We pray fervently, we pray earnestly, we pray persistently. In other words, we pray without ceasing for our kids, that they will love Jesus first and that they will be rooted in Jesus and that He will be the cornerstone of their lives. James 5, 16 through 18 says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I want to pray like Elijah on behalf of my kids. And I hope that would become your desire too, that you would pray like Elijah on behalf of your kids. I want to pray for God's Spirit to rain down upon them, and that they will be totally His, and that His Spirit will never depart from them. I've mentioned this to you before. Years ago, I don't know how long ago it was, but if it had to have been when my kids were really, really little, maybe even before a couple of them were here, that I received this challenge. And this came from me wanting to be a student of good parenting. I was watching a video at the time. This goes back before VHS or before DVDs. It was the VHS, and I was watching a teaching by Howard Hendricks on the subject of parenting, and he said something in that teaching that I grabbed hold of. He challenged his listeners to come up with a list of the 5 most important things for their children. For me, what are the 5 most important things that I want for my kids? And once I come up with that list of 5, those things become my prayer list for them over the days ahead. And you know what? It has been years, and I have had that as my prayer list for my kids. And here they are in their mid-30s, and I'm still praying for them about these things. And over the years, I've added probably 5 more things. I just could not keep the list contained to 5. But I have a list of about 10 things or so that I pray about for my kids fervently. Every day, I will say nearly every day, I pray these things for my kids. And I know God hears these prayers, because what I am praying for them about are the very things that He wants for them. He wants them to love Him first. He wants them to be pure and faithful and honest. He wants them to be Spirit-filled and to be wise. He wants them to trust Him with their whole heart and to endure through hardship. He wants them in heaven with Him for all eternity. Those are the things that I pray about for my kids. And I assure you, what's not on the list is that they be the best athlete they can be. And what's not on the list is that they make lots of money and that they land a good job. Because those things don't matter in light of eternity. What matters is that they love Jesus with their whole heart. And so I want to encourage you to come up with your own list of things to pray about for your kids, and that it will be the kinds of things that God wants for them too. Be a prayer warrior for your kids. Go to war. Hear me say that. Go to war against the devil for your kids. Because that's how you fight him. That's how you fight the devil, is through prayer. You don't fight him by standing toe to toe. You don't outsmart him. You don't outmuscle him. You pray and you seek heaven's help in your parenting and for your kids. Here's a prayer that I pray a lot for my kids, that God would place a hedge of protection around them. Are you familiar with that kind of prayer? You find it in the book of Job and in the book of Hosea of the Old Testament. You might investigate that, study that. Pray a hedge of protection around your kids, that God would protect them from the evil one. And here's another idea that I need to practice more of as I was preparing for this message and reading from Dr. Dobson. He talked about this in his book. Pray the scripture over your kids. As you read Matthew 6:33, pray that scripture over them. Lord, help my kids to seek you first and your righteousness. Pray James 4:7-8 over your kids. Lord, help my kids to submit to you and to resist the devil, and I know he will flee from them when they do that. Help them to draw near to you, dear God, and you will draw near to them. As you read through Scripture and you see something that just jumps out at you, in behalf of your, that would be applicable to your kids, pray that scripture over them. Proverbs 3:5-6 is my favorite passage of all the Bible, and I need to pray this passage over my kids. Lord, would you help them to trust you with all of their heart and to lean not on their own understanding? Help them, God, to acknowledge you in all their ways, and I know that you will make their paths straight. Pray the scripture over your kids. And let me mention this to you, and I think this is very important for every parent to grab hold of. You can only do so much for your kids leading them towards Jesus. They have to decide for themselves whether they are going to say yes to him. I mean, we can't decide for them. We can't make them decide yes for Jesus. We can pray and we can fast for them and we can do all of the things that good parents should do in pointing their kids to Jesus. But ultimately, it's their choice as to whether they are going to have faith in Jesus. We as parents cannot bear all the blame and live in extreme guilt if our kids don't choose Jesus. I know it's easy to go down that road and thinking that we have been a complete failure if our kids don't choose Jesus. But let me ask you, who of us has not made mistakes along the way? All of us have made mistakes in our parenting too. I know of situations where parents have raised multiple kids the exact same way, and one has chosen to follow Jesus, and maybe the other has chosen not to follow Jesus. The point is, it's ultimately up to the kids. We cannot bear the blame or live in extreme guilt if they choose not to follow Jesus. But one thing we can always do is we can pray for them. And we need to pray fervently for them until we take our last breath. Would you commit to that, parents? That was just thinking, this isn't in my notes, but it come to my mind. That was the one thing that when my mom took her last breath, and I was right there with her. It just came to mind. I just lost a prayer warrior for me. And maybe she's up there in heaven and she's right there at the throne and saying those same prayers. But I lost, and may that be true. Until you take your last breath, you be a prayer warrior in behalf of your kids. We're in a battle, a spiritual battle. Our kids' souls are at stake. And the first thing and the most important thing we should be doing as parents in winning this battle for their souls is to pray. Let me mention a second point to you as we're seeking this victory over the devil for our kids' souls. We love them. We love them. Now, when they're a baby and they're so cute and cuddly and they're not talking back to us, they're easy to love. But as they grow older and they start getting a will of their own, it might become a little more challenging to always love them. And the book that I've been reading by Dr. Dobson talks a lot about raising strong-willed children. And if you happen to have one of those, you know it can be difficult. And that strong will can start showing up rather early. All of a sudden, that cutesy, cuddly baby has become a toddler who's challenging your authority. And as I was reading through this book, I was very interested in hearing the age that even this kind of challenge can begin to show itself in a strong-willed child. It's young. Like two. A year and a half. A strong will can begin to show itself. But then that toddler grows into an adolescent who's challenging your authority. I said it earlier, parenting is not easy. But I believe this with my whole heart, that God is bigger than any challenge we face. And certainly God knows a thing or two about parenting strong-willed children. If he had a wall with all of his strong-willed children's pictures on it, guess whose picture would be on it? Yours would. And mine would, because we are all strong-willed children against his authority. Every one of us have rebelled against his authority, and yet he has loved us unconditionally. He has been patient with us. He has not given up on us. He has poured his grace upon us when we have deserved his wrath. That's what love does. Love bears all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails, says 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so as parents, we need to love our children. It's unfortunate I can't give as much time to this point as it deserves. But I'm thinking, you know, what does it mean to love our kids? What's involved in loving our kids? Well, certainly it would involve providing for them, having time for them, encouraging them. We don't give them everything they ask for. And it involves discipline towards them. Now, some would say, love and discipline. Yeah, it goes together. And discipline is such an important point in this fight for our kids' souls. I'm going to hold off in talking about that until next Sunday and have that as a point all to itself. But indeed, and there's scriptures that give teaching about this, indeed, love and discipline are very connected. Hebrews 12:6 says, for those whom the Lord loves, what? He disciplines. and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you check the context of this passage, it's talking about God being our Father, and every good father disciplines his children for their good. So as we're talking about this point of love, parenting, being love, we love our kids, let me talk about two things particularly. The first thing would be this: we need to encourage our kids. That's a part of loving them. And certainly, out in the world, they get enough discouragement. They get beat up a lot. They get told they're not measuring up. You're not pretty enough, the world says to them. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You can't do that. And so when they come home from being told all these things that they can't do, they need their tank filled back up. They need encouragement. They need to be buoyed up to face another day out there in the world. And so you, as a parent, need to be their number one encourager. You need to be their number one cheerleader. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 says, "Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children." That scripture right there tells me one thing a father should be doing is encouraging his kids. We need to be that encourager to our children. They need that. They need us to remind them of the worth that they have in Jesus. We need to speak words of encouragement to those little ones in our home. And as they grow older, it doesn't matter what age they are, they need our encouragement. Our words, according to the book of Proverbs, can bring life or death to those whom we speak to. So be an encourager. And let me mention this to you as we're talking about loving our kids. Make sure you have time for them. You've heard it said, love is spelled T-I-M-E. Our time is one of the most important things that we have. And so give them your time. As they're little, play with them. Play catch with them. Play ball with them. I'm just always intrigued when my grandkids come to our home. Guess who their number one playmate is? And it wears me to a frazzle these days because they don't wear down. But they love for us to play with them. And as a parent, you've got to take time to play with your kids. You know, play what they like to play, whether it's playing ball or playing dolls or playing a game with them. Read to them. Let them read to you. Go to the park with them. Take them swimming. Whatever your kids like to do, take the time to do it with them, because I'm telling you, they're going to get older. Every day they're getting older. And you need to try and keep that habit of being with them, playing with them. Keep that habit going, because if you let that slip through the cracks as they get into the middle school age and on beyond that, it may be a real struggle to get that time back. And you will want that time with them. You will long for that time with them. And it may be hard to get it back. As my parents have both passed on from this earth to be with Jesus, the things I remember and reflect back on is the time that they spent with me. And I'm so thankful for that. They were busy. They were busy. They worked full-time jobs, and they came home, and they worked like dogs at home, in the garden and in the yard. But they had time for me. And that spoke volumes to me. It's what I remember now as a 63-year-old man of my childhood, is the time they had with me. Life flies by in a hurry. And the time that we give to our kids, we will never regret. I you know what? In all my years of ministry, I have never heard a person on their deathbed regretting time that they spent with their kids. I just wish I wouldn't have spent so much time with them. I've never heard somebody say that. But you know, what I have heard is for somebody to say, I wish I wouldn't have spent so much time in the office. I wish I wouldn't have spent so much time away from the family. Now, I've heard that a lot. You love them by spending time with them. So hopefully as we journey through life with them, as you're playing catch together, as you're driving in the car together, as you're swimming together, as you're camping together, whatever it is you're doing together, hopefully as you're together with your kids, you can take opportunity to talk to them about Jesus and influence them for Jesus. Let's pray together.